fighting for America.
This is not about discrimination. This is about protecting the religious liberty of every Hoosier, of every faith.
The number one hashtag on Twitter is Boycott Indiana.
Fighting for Idaho.
I've always had a problem with eminent domain in any shape or form to have government take away property, regardless of what the excuse.
Fighting for you.
Good morning, Kevin. I just appreciate you being here, and I am very thankful for you. You're just wonderful.
Boise's Mr. Right.
Well, you found a home here.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Senator Stephen Thane with us. Senator Thane, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So education, your passion, you've been active in it for quite some time. You know, a lot has changed since you introduced the dual credit legislation. Do you remember that?
Quite a bit has changed.
Yeah, in education, it's continued to ratchet it up here in the state when it comes to people's attention and everything. It seems to me those are like the good old days.
Well, I don't know if they're the good old days or, you just take one day at a time.
Well, exactly. Now, let me hit you with this. How successful has it been to have kids in Idaho schools and high schools be allowed to attend college, get college credit while they're still in high school?
It's been very successful. I get reports all the time. I just had a parent talk to me yesterday, said that they're a student that's 19 years old now in college at the University of Idaho, in her, second semester, is taking some junior level classes, is doing well. So the dual credit both allows them to reduce their cost of college, but also helps them prepare so they don't need as much remediation when they get there.
When you hear that, what does that go on in your mind? I mean, again, as someone who has championed this from the beginning.
Well, it's gratifying. One of the concerns I have is that we make sure that the rigor of dual credit classes and advanced placement classes stays rigorous. So it actually is a college-level class. But I think students rise to the challenge of that's been given them. And so it makes me feel good to answer the question. It's gratifying.
Where are we as far as education in this session?
There's been some very interesting education legislation passed this session. The piece of legislation that got most of the news was the career ladder, because it had a big fiscal impact, a lot of money going to teachers over the next 5 years. That is, if the economy generates the tax revenue to fund it. But that bill in and of itself won't change what's going on in the classroom as much as some of the other ones.
Senator Thane, we've heard your colleagues come on this program. And again, we thank you for joining us in studio to talk education, to talk finance, to talk money here at 580KIDO, that there are some districts within Idaho, some even in the Treasure Valley, where you have people that aren't certified to teach. Teaching because there just aren't people to teach the kids. As someone who is an advocate, a champion of education here in Idaho, your reaction to that, is that going on?
Well, I've heard it a couple of different places, and I think it's accurate that there's teachers, I don't know how much in the Boise area, but some of the outlying areas, teachers are, it's hard to find qualified teachers to teach. So, yes, I think that is an issue.
How do we balance the need for teachers with the thoughts and the needs of taxpayers who say, look, I'm working more, getting paid less, and my taxes are going to go up to fund educators that work 9 months out of the year?
Well, the way I balance it is the current education system, the discussion we're having right now, is based upon funding and teachers, and those two components of the equation results in good education. I'm trying to add two other components, and that's the role of parents and the role of the students themselves, the desire of the students to learn. And so I'm focusing on those two other components to try to make up some of the deficiencies in funding.
580-5436, 580-KIDO, if you have a question for Senator Thain. You know, we'll get into your numerous debates on Common Core, your research of the issue. A lot of people are concerned about that. But as we get into funding, the governor, the legislature, the state school superintendent have all asked for increases in funding education. Will these increases address the problems that we've seen and heard about for the past few years when it comes to, you know, as we talked about, giving teachers more money? Alan L. Morton, a champion of the textbooks in the classrooms, some school systems are having kids actually check out textbooks as if you're going to the library. And then we have the tiered tenure controversy as well. But will giving more money to the schools from the state help alleviate some of these concerns? Is it enough?
More money will help attract teachers and it will help retain them. So as far as the teacher shortage, I think more money will help. As far as improving student outcomes, that won't necessarily make a difference. The dual credit, I'm talking about a mastery advancement or mastery or competency-based education system, which was the first recommendation of the task force. If you start talking about that, you need two components. One is to have an assessment where the student can prove that he or she has learned the material. And second, a curriculum that's transparent enough that students can start to teach themselves. So that's where I'm going with education, is I'm trying to make it so students aren't limited by what's going on in the classroom. They actually can use, and the role of the teacher changes a little bit from being a lecturer to a mentor to help students, to challenge students, give them ideas of where they should go for the next assignment, what they need to do to fulfill their life goals. So I think changing the role of teaching from when we were in school,
right,
from more of a lecture base to helping students develop their own potential and teachers become more mentors, one, I think it'll make it less stressful for the teachers, but a lot more satisfying for the students and the teacher.
Let's go to the phones, and we're going to go to Ron Paul Jim for Senator Thain at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Ron Paul Jim.
Good morning. I had a question. I heard an advertisement, what appeared to be an advertisement, on the FM channels saying that Common Core has been producing, have parents commenting on it with raving results. And I was just curious, who's paying for these ads, and why is there a need to promote Common Core at the expense of the taxpayer? Because I'm assuming, it was the Department of Education that is sporting these ads, trying to tell us how great Common Core is on the FM channel.
Well, why are you listening to FM anyway?
I'm a music lover.
Well, I guess we're blessed that we have you when we do, then.
And you're not on all the time,
Well, bless your heart. By the way, we do have the answer to that, but let's play this ad for those people that stay with us. So would it help if I did a little song and dance for you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, here we go.
Spring is here. Idaho students have been studying hard all year in time for the Idaho Student Achievement Test. The end of the grade assessment is new. This is the first time we are measuring our kids' math and reading skills to reflect Idaho's higher standards. Test results should not be compared to past scores. It will take time to adjust to improved standards, which help our kids prepare for college or a great career. Get the facts on SBAC at sde.idaho.gov. That's sde.idaho.gov. Brought to you by State Department of Education.
That's about a $5,000 ad budget by the Department of Education, Ron Paul Jim.
Well, this one actually mentioned parents raving about Common Core, saying with raving results. And it's not the one I was referring to, unfortunately.
Well, Senator Thain, your thoughts?
Well, I've never heard the ad before. That was the first time, and it definitely is from the State Department of Education. There's been a discussion at the state legislature, especially on the Senate side, about some of the concerns we have with Common Core. And just yesterday, Superintendent Ibarra brought a piece of legislation to help her with the waiver. The waiver is with the federal government dealing with No Child Left Behind, but it has to do with standards. It has to do with testing. It has to do with the data and all these concerns that people have generally lumped together called Common Core. And she wants to make, I think she said yesterday, 132 changes this year. And the concerns that a lot of the senators on the Education Committee have had is the length of the test, if the standards are really the ones we want. And one thing that resolution or that bill called for was to look at those standards this year and address some of those concerns. So I think it's a little early to say if Common Core is working or not, but I know there's a lot of concern in the legislature that this is the right direction to go.
Well, also, it was my concern that, when asking for more money and then you got some of your money being spent promoting Common Core, trying to tell us how great it is when I haven't heard anything but complaints. And this is how, it's more of a campaign for more money than anything else. And blowing smoke up the people's, to believe that somehow this is what, that everybody is raving about it. And so you, as a parent, the concerned parent feel like, wow, I must be the only one that thinks this is stupid. When the fact is that the majority of people really are concerned about Common Core, and our tax dollars are being spent promoting and pushing and pretending that we all support it. So, I just want to know it brings into question what the priorities are of the education department. And, are they getting kickbacks for this? Where's the money coming from? Who's spending it? Who's deciding to spend it on ads?
Well,
it seems like a waste.
All right, Ron Paul, Jim, thank you for the call. Senator Thain?
I think you raises some good questions, and I'll ask a few questions today about where the funding came from and who thought that was important to run the ad.
How big of an issue is it for you, Common Core? Remember when it was all being debated, you and at the time State School Superintendent Tom Luna, you did the tour. You had these like Lincoln Douglas style debates.
Well, we only had one or two, but yes, we did have some debates. One of the things that Tom Luna said at the time was that this was voluntary. There's no money involved, but we've come to find out that yes, there is money involved, and if we don't have a test, now it doesn't have to necessarily be the SBAC test, but that's the only one out there right now, that the state stands to lose up to $20 million. So yeah, the federal government is using Common Core type language to control our actions.
More coming up with Senator.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. Staying up all night.
Senator Thain with us here at 580 KIDO, taking your calls on education and all things the legislature. We're joined by Tea Party Bob, who quite the celebrity yesterday, testifying before the Senate. How was that?
Interesting. I'm just sorry that we couldn't convince that group of senators or the leadership that this was a good bill, and it's unfortunate because the people who are down at the bottom of the rung are going to get hurt the most.
Well, would this be a case where I was right and you were wrong?
You know, Kevin, you can be right for the wrong reasons sometimes.
Yes, I've heard that before.
I've seen you do that many times,
yes, sir.
And I don't know how you do it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Senator Thain, just a couple of questions, actually one primary one. I know I'm all for paying teachers higher wages, but I'd like to know what assurance we're going to have that money is actually going to go to the teachers' salaries when we've seen so much waste, like the $61 million on SchoolNet and over $30 million lost in the education network. What kind of a system do you have in place to make sure that money's going to teachers and it's not going to administrators in other places?
Well, that's a good question, Tea Party Bob. A lot of the wasted money, as you pointed out on SchoolNet, was spent at Central Services, which is the State Department of Education. I think the, you know, love or hate the teachers' union, one thing they do is they try to figure out how much money is the state sends to local districts, and they try to make sure that as much of that money as possible goes to teacher salaries. So I think that's one of the checks on the local level. Hopefully that answers your question.
Well, I was just curious whether you're putting any checks in a legislative level.
I don't believe we are. The career ladder is how the state funds the local school districts. How the local school districts actually allocate that money to the teachers is not spelled out in Idaho code, but many of them follow how the state allocates fairly closely.
Okay, so we have some assurances that they're going to get the money?
I think the teachers are going to get the money. There is one piece in code that says that the lowest, it has sets the minimum teacher salary. Other than that, I don't. It's really done at the school district level.
Thank you, Senator Thane.
You bet.
All right, Tea Party Bob there. We appreciate it, sir, from the Gem State Patriot. Senator, we've been covering the issue of the gas tax, the elimination of the grocery tax, the tax break for people making in excess of $400,000. Yesterday, it went to the Senate, didn't get a warm reception. Now it's done. What happened?
Well, I think the House and Senate leadership are going to meet. I believe they're going to meet at 8 o'clock this morning. And they have a pretty cordial working relationship. Hopefully they'll talk things out and decide what piece of legislation can pass both bodies. I have a feeling that the Senate would like to see a user fee approach to raising some money. So that would mean a gas tax increase and probably a registration fee increase. What else comes out of that meeting this morning, we'll find out.
Indeed, we go back to the user fee, though. Initially, there was a proposal, 7 cents year one, 8 cents, and then it would continue on. That really didn't go anywhere, and diesel users would pay more. How bad can you make the case that we need to fix the roads enough that people will support their senators and their representatives for really, you know, raising gas prices?
Oh, well.
I mean, because you're going to hear about it.
I've heard, you know, my emails and people that have communicated with me, there's been very few people. In fact, I can't think of anyone that said we shouldn't raise any tax, any more taxes for roads. The question is how much. I'm more of an incrementalist. I'd like to see $50 or $60 million this year. That'd be about a 5 or 6 cent increase in gas tax and maybe $5 to $15 on registration. I don't see how you could increase taxes $150 million in 1 year. There will be another year. If that's not enough, we can come back and talk about it another time.
Have you looked at the conditions of the roads? And we've heard from folks, but, you know, we're talking to you firsthand where, you know, the roads and the bridges need to be fixed, as we've heard. Mayor Nancolas of Caldwell talking about this as well. He's been on the program, but other people, you know, they love the Sea-Doos. They love their big trucks. They love to go camping, and, you know, they don't want to pay 7 cents more per gallon in gas.
Well, I think the roads, especially the county roads, I think the state roads are probably a little bit better shape than the county roads. How well the bridges are doing or not, I think they're supposed to have a 50-year lifespan, but there's some bridges out there that are in great shape that'll have an 80, 100-year lifespan. How many? I don't know. I would like to just see a small increase this year and talk about it some more another year. But you can't both want to put more money into roads and not pay any more taxes unless we really get creative, which we should do, as far as reducing medical costs and reducing costs in other ways, increasing the productivity of the state so that we can, as you increase tax revenue generally, then there's more money that could go to roads.
Final thought, how is the state doing as far as the economy? We keep hearing that we're out of the recession. We've got a lot of construction going on in the Treasure Valley and other places, business coming in. I met a lady yesterday, Fred Meyer, moved here from Seattle. From the government level, are you seeing that?
What we're reports that I'm getting is that there's slow but steady growth. One reason that the career ladder bill passed that is going to require $40 to $50 million over the next 5 years in increased funding is because we see the economy growing over the next 4 or 5 years.
Finally, tiered tenure. Where do you come down on that?
The tiered licensure bill became the career ladder bill. I think ended up being quite well written, at least most of it. The master tier, I think, still needs some work, but it won't really kick in until about 2019, so we have about 4 years. We can talk about it some more. But the first tier is a residency license or where a teacher has 3 years to prove their proficiency and move on to a professional level. They need to pass
some tests.
Well, not a test, but where someone comes in and...
Some proficiency things.
Yeah, the word is escaping me right now. But if they don't pass that after the third year, they don't lose their license. That was a sticking point early on. And so I think the bill, by and large, was a pretty good bill. I voted for it.
Senator Thain, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'd love to have you back.
Anytime you want me to come, I'll be here.
All right. Our great friend Senator Thain with us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. It is Thursday. Promoting our schools, securing our future, courtesy of our friends at CapEd and Chick-fil-A and Dave Burnett. We're right in front of the CapEd facility here at Rocky Mountain High School. Good morning.
The CapEd facility?
I guess bank is what you'd call it, yes.
Nice.
They have an actual bank here right across from the media center, across from the administration, and we'd urge them to vote for them for Best of the Treasure Valley, I suppose.
There you go. That is going on, isn't it, the Best of the Treasure Valley?
It is.
Do you have a campaign mounted for the Kevin Miller Show on KIDO?
You know, it's funny because, and please, I'm going to give you a great license to smack me here, but not that you need it, but a couple years ago we worked really hard, and, you know, we finished fourth, and this is a relatively young show compared to people in the Treasure Valley, and then last year they changed the criteria, and we don't know who finished fourth or whatever, and it seemed that we raised the intensity in this building, in our building, not in Rocky Mountain High School, where we had other people really working really hard, and it's great if you're the Idaho Statesman. I mean, let's face it, you work hard to win a plaque, and you know, you devoted a lot of time to promoting the Statesman.
Yeah, but a plaque would be nice.
It would be, but you know something? I kind of look at it this way. We'll support CapEd. We'll support all the great businesses. But as far as mounting a campaign, if people would like to vote, that's great. But I'm not going to barrage you on social media and on this show with my self-indulgent pandering.
That's just funny to say. Self-indulgent pandering.
Exactly. I was trying to...
Sounds like a dish at the Panda Express.
I kind of got lost. Thankfully, pandering came to me. But, you know, it's great. It's fun. But, the Statesman is in the Statesman's business. We're in the business of, of course, promoting ourselves, but also helping the community. So I could go on and on with this long-winded blathering about it and taking a shot at them that they really didn't cover us when we won this prestigious national award, but I'll just let it go.
But a plaque is nice. And I'll take a big helping of self-indulgent pandering along with a side of fried rice.
Yeah. So I wish everybody well, but it's funny because, and you can attest to this, there are a lot of people in our building, and there's one group that does an outstanding job every year, and they're rewarded for their efforts every year. But a couple others, you know, started pumping it up and That was a big deal. And I can remember looking in the mail slots, and this is how crazy I am, and you told me this yesterday that I need to quit taking this all so seriously.
Yes, I told you, take a deep breath.
I can remember looking in the mailbox for the letter in the mail, because my wife's business was, I think she was, what, top three, so mm-hmm. she got to go to the ceremony. I wasn't allowed to go, so.
There's a ceremony?
There's a big ceremony at the Egyptian Theater. And
oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, and I remember looking in the mailbox for our letter, and there was one for two stations in the building. Two out of three ain't bad, but I thought to myself, you know, I'm never going to play in a game where we can't win. So
yeah, and they might have seen your behavior at the Marconi and said, well, maybe not.
You know something? It wherever I go in the realm of radio, people remember that performance.
Yeah, well, it's well worth remembering. So you are at Rocky Mountain High School today.
The palatial, majestic, modern, I can't think of anything else to describe it, Rocky Mountain High School.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is a very, very nice facility. I would say state of the art.
I would say I would agree with you on that. And yeah. It's kind of funny because I kind of prefer the old traditional schools. But then you're here and you just get this incredible vibe. I can't really describe it. It's really akin to going to the mall, but it's like an education mall.
Yeah, it is. So if anyone's ever had not had an opportunity to go by, it's worth going just to see. I mean, every time we do sports there or involved in a school activity there, it's just amazing when you look at the facility and what has been done there. And the education kids are getting there. Very good.
Well, and if you want to come by, just stop by. Garrett will let you in, and we'll let you roam wild and free before anybody gets here.
No, that's not going to happen. That'd be your last day of doing a school event.
Well, nothing's really open. All the doors are locked. I don't think they'd have a problem with it, you know.
Big news, by the way. I think one of the biggest national stories that's brewing out there, and maybe not on a lot of people's front burner, that is the water situation in California. They are putting mandatory bans on the use of certain things for water in California. First time they put mandatory bans in place. And the reason I say it's a big story, and I know, and it's one of those sayings in Idaho, when you start talking water, people's eyes glaze over. Okay, whatever. I guarantee you there will come a point where those who need water in California will start looking to their north and going, hey, you've got a big Snake River full of water. We could use it down here, and would put their eyes on our water.
Do you think they're trying what? Make us Northern California or something like
try
that?
Try to strike some sort of deal so that they can divert some of the water from here to there.
Could California actually annex us?
I don't know that they could annex us, but some federal pressures could be put on. I have heard that talk before when California's talked shortage before. But, yeah, I mean, it's to the point where I think the Wall Street Journal, it's not that anymore. It's the Morning Report. It used to be a Wall Street Journal report beforehand, talking to some gal in California that she now is working at before she showers. You know that 20 to 30 second period before your water's hot in the shower, you got cold water that runs? She puts a big thing down there to catch the water to use to water her plants with so that she is not wasting water. I mean, people are conserving and thinking that way. So,
I'm worried about my lawn, not theirs.
Well, you should worry about your lawn. But I don't know if you know this, you live in a desert. Somebody said that to me yesterday, said it's been really dry. We live in a desert. It happens.
But I miss the rain. I had a young lady I ran into at Fred Meyer, and she goes, I'm from Seattle. I go, well, you can kiss the rain goodbye. She goes, oh, good, I don't like the rain.
I agree. Having been raised in Portland, I had all the rain I needed growing up. Thank you.
Well, we've got a little argument going on here. Have you heard about this?
You and who?
No, Congressman Labrador and Mike Simpson. Apparently the honeymoon is over.
Uh-oh.
Yes, Congressman Labrador was on the taxpayer-funded radio the other day and saying, quote, that Mike Simpson would have to look long and hard to find a reason to vote no for the Medicare Access Act. Labrador Simpson says that Simpson's comment was a criticism aimed directly toward him, who voted against the plan because he thought the Medicare reimbursement portion was too high. Quote, Mike Simpson has been part of the establishment in Washington for 12 years, Labrador said. He loves to have all those relationships where it's all about making false promises to his constituents and then going back there to Washington to compromise. And then he says he's different from Mike Simpson. We're different kinds of politicians. I will not lie to my constituents. I won't say something in my campaign that is totally different than what I do during my time as a member of Congress. Nikki Wallace, the spokesperson for Mike Simpson, said, "This isn't the first time Congressman Labrador has uttered this nonsense, and I'm sure it won't be the last."
So why would Congressman Labrador be saying it?
Well,
I mean, what would be his motivation to say that?
They are different politicians. Mm-hmm. You know, on one hand, you have Congressman Labrador, beloved by the grassroots. Of course, he's been in a lot of hot water with them lately for his acquisition of Mr. Popke as the press secretary, for his voting for John Boehner. I'm trying to think if there was one other thing as well. Mike Simpson, not a fan of the Tea Party, not a big fan mm-hmm. of his, but John Boehner loves him. And he goes there and quietly does his work. You don't see him on the Sunday shows. He just brings the money back, and he, you know, works in committees and such. I guess that would define the differences.
Hmm. Interesting that they're having a little bit of a public spat.
Why would that? See, again, and remember when this happened 2 years ago, I can't remember what it was over, but Labrador attacked, Simpson smacked him back. I think it had to do with John Boehner. But it does no one any good to, you know, go after each other. And Mr. Popke was brought in to mend the fence between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was such a great uniter as a writer for the Republican Party.
I would say Dan's got his work cut out for him then, it looks like.
He does. Yesterday or a couple days ago, he was in Emmett traveling around. I don't know what. He wouldn't say, probably top secret government business. But what does this say, though, when you have a spat publicly, whether it's with Congress, whether it's at work, whether it's at school? It really, you know, it doesn't help the situation, does it?
Well, you know, it will be fascinating to see how Dan handles it. Dan, for years, was a statesman and not known as a friend of the Republican Party or conservatives. And now he's got to deal with the, you know, with the media fallout, as it were, from the industry he came from, about a party that he never really represented while he was at the Statesman. This will be fascinating to watch.
Right, and it does go back to it. I don't know why the congressman went after the other congressman, but, you know, one has a lot of influence and one has a lot of passion as far as the community behind him. You know, Congressman Labrador is rumored to run for governor. That didn't happen. Could he run again? You know, in, what is it, 2018, is it, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, would be 2018.
So maybe when we go to Washington, we'll ask the tough, hard-hitting questions of both.
I was going to say, as Mr. Miller heads to Washington coming up here, what is it, April 13th, you'll be broadcasting live from D.C. for a week. That could be interesting. Maybe you could find like a gym that they could go to with a boxing ring in it and get the two of them in there together. That'd be fantastic.
You know, I can already think of a blog post over under in an MMA cage. Who you got, Simpson or Labrador?
Oh, boy. You know what? I'm going to have to go with Labrador on that if it was an MMA.
I think if Simpson got a hold of him, it'd be over.
Do you? Okay.
Get him up against the cage.
That'd be good. You know, I wish I was an artist sometime to draw cartoons. That'd be fun.
It would be. So, I mean, this must be the big news of the day. I mean, you hit us with a legitimate story, and I'm talking about a congressional spat. By the way, I know you're always interested in my life. I had to negotiate with people in Washington. I got the boot from one hotel, so hopefully I'll get another hotel for my last night there. But I said,
how'd
well,
you get the boot? Why'd they boot you? They heard the show?
Now that's not nice. Now that's not nice.
Why'd they give you the boot?
Well, they didn't. It was a scheduling conflict. So,
oh.
And then they said, are you sure you're going to be here Friday? Because we've got Billy and Willie that want to use the facility. But if you're going to be here Friday, I go, no, I'll be here Friday. And I said, look, thankfully, I have four people in Washington that I know. Jim Risch, Mike Crapo, Mike Simpson, and Raul Labrador. I'm sure they'll let me sleep on their couch or something like that. In fact, I might room with the congressman because he does use his office as a sleeping quarters when he's there. So maybe they have an extra mattress there for me.
That'd be great. Just flop that out. No, I wasn't being mean about getting the book
hey,
to the show.
The show. That was like an overhead right.
Would that be the first time you've been given a boot because somebody heard the show? No. Oh, it wouldn't be the first time.
Just kick me in the shins on that one.
There's no inside joke. And actually, I don't think it's pretty public. Actually, it's not that inside, is it?
No, it isn't.
I remember standing with you once. I was with a national talk show host, and we were just standing at Bronco Stadium, and they saw you out there and threw us all out. Wasn't that the reason why?
Yes, my favorite, though, of all time. This has happened so many times. We're going in a different direction. Well, I'm very excited about that. You're not going in that direction. I'd really like a career in, you know, something else around the station. No, we've had enough of you.
Speaking of Boise State, one final little note, because I know you are a huge Jets fan.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Wilson, no longer a Jet.
Going to the Saints, possibly.
Yep, he is headed down, signed a deal with the Saints, so Kyle Wilson is headed to New Orleans.
You know, he was such a, and still is, such a nice young man, and mm-hmm. it's you know, we have these bonding moments with these folks. And, I mean, you're still close with Kellen Moore, but it's amazing that you think now, you know, he's made it in the NFL. Now he's going from the Jets to the Saints. And what a great accomplishment and a smart guy, too.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny as I watch this, you're beginning to see his career wind down. What, he's been at 6 years, five, 6 years? And after 5 or 6 years, your career is kind of winding down.
Well, I can remember, and pardon me if I get the name wrong, Quentin Michael, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, is he out of the league or is he still in the league?
He's out. I don't think he played last year. He floated. He was at Philadelphia for years and floated to a couple teams and career done.
I remember, though, I thought it was a big deal when you interviewed him when we did the Broncos show.
Quentin Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was a big deal in Philadelphia, as Kyle Wilson really was in New York, but the problem is New York couldn't win a game, so... There you go. Traffic now as you're coming out of Canyon County into Ada County. We're looking good. No problems. No accidents.
Coming up next, promoting our school, securing our future from Rocky Mountain High School in Meridian. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Good morning.